Well, we're sitting here at the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, and my name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Well, if I'm at Tarlow, Breed, that means right beside me is the one and the only Mark Furman. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Jeffrey. Great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to our next guest.
We've had a lot of guests, and I want to thank you for that, Mark, and I thank you for hosting and the firm, too. Our next guest is Andrea Delaney, attorney Fields & Dennis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you have a unique practice. Why don't you tell us about it?
So I'm an attorney at Fields & Dennis. My practice is mostly based on family law. So I do divorce, custody disputes, paternity, prenuptial, postnuptial agreements, and an occasional happy adoption. The firm itself has six attorneys, and we practice mostly with domestic relations, but we also do some family-based other litigation and types of law such as real estate and estate planning and probate.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into family law.
Family law found me, actually. I was out on my own when I first graduated law school and passed the bar, and an attorney handed me a family law case and said, run with it, and it all just happened from there. Wasn't expecting to do family law. I actually expected to be some sort of transactional attorney, but I did fall in love with the type of practice, and I've been doing it now for about 14 years, I think. 15 years. Wow, that's a long time.
Well, maybe I'll take this in a little bit different direction if it works. You know, I do a lot of consulting to privately owned businesses. A lot of them are family owned, and I find that the overhanging thoughts of divorce affects entrepreneurs and their decisions when they're not in a good marriage or when they are going through a divorce. It can be very disruptive to a business.
Absolutely.
And it's become more and more of a concern for me in my work with families and, you know, private ownership over the years, because I see how the home affects the office.
Oh, absolutely. And so we do deal with that a lot in our practice. Occasionally, we will get people who will come to us prior to their children getting married and ask us what is a good way to protect their interest, the child's interest in the family business, or how can the family protect the business. So we will encourage them to have the child do a prenuptial agreement to carve out the family business. Other times, you know, they get creative with how they set up the business, which is out of my wheelhouse, but it is a difficult conversation to have with a child who is about to get married and doesn't see, who predicts at the time of marriage that their marriage might end. So it is sometimes a difficult conversation to have with a child to say, hey, you got to protect the family business, and this is, you know, we would like you to get a prenuptial agreement, and then have that conversation with the soon-to-be spouse, whether it be the husband or the wife. So we do deal with that a lot. We do counsel individuals who are coming to us for the prenuptial agreements, and we do counsel family-owned business owners who are looking to make sure that that's protected.
And what about post-nups? I mean, I actually have had situations where I've had spouses not in the business tell me they were hanging on for as long as they can as the value of the business was growing.
Sure.
For the time to strike.
So we deal with those as well. It comes up in certain circumstances. You know, sometimes they get married and they didn't have a prenuptial agreement, and then they feel like, okay, we should probably have one based on either family money coming in or, you know, perhaps an idea or a business that's taken off. Many times, prenuptial agreements have what's called sunset clauses, which says after 20 years of marriage, the prenuptial agreement goes away. And we've actually had people come to us after a sunset clause has come in and say, okay, I would like a prenuptial agreement because my prenuptial agreement is about to, expire. And so we've dealt with both of those situations. And it does tend to become a little more interesting than your divorce, because it's, to some people, the spouse who's not looking for the postnup, it could look as, well, is this divorce planning? How else do they look at it? And so it's counseling everybody, whoever my client is, whether it's the one looking for the prenup or the postnup, or the client who was asked to sign a postnup, on, you know, what would happen if they got divorced tomorrow, or what, you know, and how that relates to what the postnuptial agreement says. And then that's holds true for prenuptials as well, because they need to understand that if they got divorced and all this stuff came in, what are they giving up really by signing this document?
So in my practice, I do business litigation, and oftentimes I see companies with multiple owners and no shareholder agreement or operating agreement. Maybe there's a one has been drafted and there's a red line version hanging around that was never signed. They never quite get to the finish line. And then one of the partners either dies or goes through a divorce, or there's some triggering event that has a new partner potentially on the scene. Do you see that in your practice?
We see it with, yes, our clients are in that circumstances where they're either the one going through the divorce, and how is it going to affect globally their business, and you know, what is the ex-spouse's interest going to be in that? And we sometimes bring in other lawyers on, in that circumstances. We're not experts on the business side of things, so we'll ask them to consult with us on what is the setup, and then, you know, it's always important to get a business valuation, regardless of what side you're on, and we do try to see if there's a way to get it so that new partner, I guess, if you will, is not taking an active role. But there are some that have had active roles in the business even though they weren't an actual partner, and that tends to make things a little more complicated because they've helped grow that business and they want that share even though they weren't a shareholder, and then it gets a little more complicated.
Well, certainly having an agreement that deals with the circumstance
absolutely
makes everybody's life simpler. But
yes.
I think that companies starting out, you know, the for whatever reason, you know, the priorities may not be making sure they're in compliance with employment laws or protecting their trademark or dealing with their operating agreement or shareholder agreement.
Exactly. I think it's the same when you, it's the start of a business is like the start of a marriage, right? Nobody's predicting that the business is going to end badly. And
yes.
So they don't always think about those things. And so there you don't have your prenuptial agreement.
And there's and also like sometimes that. Limited funds.
Correct.
So I also see companies that they don't adequately insure themselves against circumstances that can arise in running a business.
You know, I'll correct Mark, and I see everything that you're saying, but if I were to draw a line in the sand, I see that a lot in, let's say, chosen partnerships. And it's even worse, and maybe epidemic, in family businesses, the neglect at looking at these things, the lack of structure, the lack of contracts. Dad and mom didn't want these things. It cost a lot of money. Why spend the money?
Right.
We're a family rules. And so I think it's even worse in family business.
It's absolutely worse in family business, and that's why they try to go to that prenuptial agreement. I get consulted from family business owners all the time. I just got a call this weekend from a family friend that had the same situation. How do we protect this business? And some of it is just protecting it from divorce, but there's a global issue. This new person's coming into the family, and what happens if it's not a divorce issue or it's a legal issue that this person brings in that may affect the family business? So there's different aspects of it. Again, that goes back to the business and setting up the business the way you need to do it to protect those things. I can only protect if they get divorced or something like that. But it is an interesting situation for the family-owned businesses when their children grow up and start having families of their own, and then it's succession planning and things like that that they're not always thinking about when they started the business. And I think it's important that people start thinking about that, and especially when a marriage takes place, even if you have a small business that you started and you're getting married, is to think about, you know, how are you going to protect that should something happen along the way? And people are in the moment, the bliss, and they're not thinking through that process and what happens.
Some fear too, not even during bliss. It's like, I don't want to disrupt this happiness.
Correct.
Right. Don't rock the apple cart. You know, they push it forward, and then it just comes back to get them later.
That's true.
It's like leaving the house without an umbrella.
I do that every day.
Someone showed up here today with an umbrella.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So we've been speaking with Andrea Delaney, attorney Fields and Dennis, with Mark Furman of Tarlow, Breedhart and Rogers. Andrea, if someone was looking for you,
sure.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
How would they find you?
I can be reached at Andrea A. Delaney at fieldsdennis.com, and my website is fieldsdennis.com. So there's a plethora of information on that website related to me, the firm, and what we do. So I welcome you to check us out.
Great. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mark Furman, thank you, Tarlow, Breedhart and Rogers. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with another interview after these messages.